Blog Talk Radio.
Everyone, welcome to our Friday healing service. I am your host and anointer, Bishop Christina Rake. I am the head of the Charismatic Universalist Church, and I welcome you. I hope there are many of you out there who have come for healing. If not, I don't mind talking about myself all night. It is my favorite subject. But I'm glad that I could be with you and that we could have this special service. We're in Easter time, and Easter is a time of healing and rejoicing. The resurrection has happened, and some of us may be waiting for our own resurrection, for our own life to take a joyful form, for us to become a new creation, for us to have a new body, a new relationship, a better job, new finances, an end to grief and suffering and sorrow. And so that's what tonight's service is all about. We'll be doing some formal prayer. We'll also be doing charismatic prayer. So let me tell you a little bit about our church. The Charismatic Universalist Church has its roots deep in the ancient church of Jesus Christ. So you'll find in our theology, we look pretty Catholic, but we do not ascribe to many of the things that were added on later in the church. We do believe that the Eucharist is the body and blood of Christ. We venerate Mary, the saints, and the angels. But we also believe, just like Peter and Paul experienced in Acts, that Holy Spirit described in the Gospels, described in Acts, is dynamic and living and moving through us as a person, one of the Trinity, not some vague force, not some love that only passes between the Father and the Son. It is the breath of God, the Shekinah, the Ruah, what comes from God and is itself in many cultures, and we believe a feminine force that comes and nurtures us. It gives us life. It holds the universe together. And I know I'm sounding very Jedi-like, but that's what the Holy Spirit does. The universe is designed in such a way that if God took his attention from you for just 1 second, you would cease to be, wink out of existence. And that's what the Holy Spirit does. It's inside of us. It's all around us. It prays within us, Paul says. It groans within us for God to come, even when we're not aware of it. That's what the Holy Spirit is. We know that all but one, and that one, it's not that we don't know or he didn't, we're not sure, but we know all the gospel writers spoke in tongues because they were there at Pentecost. The only one we're not sure about is Luke. There is a later follower of Paul, I believe, if I'm getting that right. And anyway, You know, when I pray, sometimes I do that as well and understand that it's not some creepy thing. It's like anything else. If you hum or you sing or you just sort of, you know, click your tongue or have some habit that frees your mind and your body so that you can pray more freely. I like to tell people it's kind of like when you pray to God and you don't know the words, but you're expressing the depths of your soul in that prayer. So we're going to start the service after a very beautiful song about healing and prayer for healing and pleading with God. And it's absolutely gorgeous. While this song is playing, I invite you to begin calling in or writing in the chat room your prayer requests. If you don't, I will, of course, start praying for random things until someone does. But I hope that you'll call. Don't be embarrassed. I'm only going to ask your first name. You can say as little or as much as you want. Simply say, you know, my name is Mary, and I have severe health issues, and we'll just pray for you. You know, that's it. You don't have to say anything else. We don't know who you are, and I'm not going to say your number. I don't even see it. So please call in if you'd like me to pray over you. Now, I know I'm not next to you, and I'm not laying on hands physically, but remote healing is just as real as laying on of hands. If you remember, the centurion came to Jesus and asked him to heal my servant. And Jesus was coming, and the centurion said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou should enter under my house, under my roof, but only say the word, and thou shalt be and he shall be healed. And that's exactly what Jesus did remotely. He healed a lot of people remotely. So I'm not saying I'm Jesus. Nothing of the sort. In fact, very far from it. I'm just a sinner like you. But God doesn't need us to be touching in order to go where he needs to go. He knows where he's going. I'm not worried about that, and neither should you. So I'm going to play A Balm in Gilead. While this song is playing, please call in. I'm going to sit back in my chair, and I might be a little further from my microphone. So I hope you'll still be able to hear me. I just need to be comfortable while I'm praying for you. So please call in now with your requests. You know, I played that beautiful song and I failed to give out the number here. Our number here is 347-633-9174. Again, that's 347-633-9174. You know, I've done a couple of shows on suffering. In fact, I'm finishing my master's thesis, and suffering is the primary theme. And I went through a lot of experiences in my life that taught me not the value of suffering, but what suffering can do for us. See, I used to get into arguments with people about God's role in human suffering. And it really is the biggest struggle we have in faith. Now, there's two problems. We say that God is all-powerful and God is all-loving. He's both. But the question arises, if he's all-powerful and all-loving, then why is there suffering? Because if he's all-powerful but still ignores suffering and allows it to occur, then he's not all-loving. If he's all-loving and suffering occurs, then he's not all-powerful because he can't stop it, even though he wants to. And so that's the conundrum theologians find themselves in. Each of us has to find a way to answer that question in a way that gives our life meaning. And I'll tell you that when you read the Old Testament, in particular, you read the book of Job. Job, at first, he accepts everything. And that's probably an older part of the story that was written very, very early. You know, Job just says, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh, blessed be the name of the Lord. That's where we get that saying. But the rest of Job, all of a sudden, he starts to complain. And he has three friends. And while Job sits in the ashes in silence, and just so you know, servants keep running into his house all of a sudden. Your cattle's been destroyed. Your fields have been burned. Your children are dead. The roof collapsed and your servants are dead. And then just for added measure, God gives him boils all over his skin or allows these to happen at the behest of Satan or the Satan, the accuser, who tells God that Job wouldn't love him so much if God didn't give him so many cool things. Well, Job's in the ashes and his comforters come. And each of them represents a human response to suffering. The first is the normal response that was part of what was believed in the covenant community, in the Israelite community. Suffering is punishment for sin. And Job's response is, I didn't do anything wrong. There's one there who gets defensive at the suggestion that, you know, he's saying God's wrong. And so he defends God. And I've met so many ministers and clergy who feel that they have to defend God from victims of suffering. And I've even gotten into arguments with them. No, defend God. Because what happens in the rest of Job after that one person starts to defend God is that Job leaves and starts screaming at God in anger. I want a judge to stand between you and I and tell me what I did to deserve this. And the funny thing is, God's response is this: I'm God. That's it. The response is, I'm God. And then some people have interpreted that as, oh, you silly little thing. It's okay, I'm the adult. You'll never understand anyway. But he says the same thing he said to Moses. I'm God. And it's interesting that that's the continuous response. There really is no answer in Job. There's an addition at the end that comes later from someone who couldn't stand the thought that God would do this, where Job gets everything back and he's even happier, you know, at the end of his life. But that wasn't there originally. It was just Job screaming at God and his friends trying to defend God. It was really, really amazing and powerful book of first prose, that's the older story, and then later poetry. So Job wrestles with that problem, and so do each of us. And I'm not here to defend God, but sometimes when we look at suffering, we're not seeing the big picture. I know myself, because of a series of just physical maladies that have knocked the snot out of me, that we sometimes start to look inward to the point of missing opportunities of sort of kicking God out of our lives. So when I talk about healing prayer, the image I get in my head when I pray over someone is literally like reaching my hands into their chest, breaking open their rib cage so that all the light can just penetrate their heart again. Because God knows someone had to do that to me constantly. I want to start to question too. Is this what you want me to do? It's getting really hard. And so this happens to all of us. We fall into financial straits. We lose someone dear to us. Even falling into a depression, illnesses, destruction of property, the death of a beloved pet. These are all forms of suffering. There's some that seem a degree more than others. Like if you put two victims together and you say, okay, this one, they both suffered from a hurricane that came through their town. This one lost their boat, and this one lost their house. So the one who lost their house has to be suffering more. But that's not really how you should view suffering. And suffering is suffering. Charles Dickens said, never judge another person's suffering. What seems as a scratch to one person may feel as an amputation to another. But there is some suffering that we would all agree is so much deeper than others. And what do? A lot of us, when we have a friend who has had a tremendous tragedy in their lives, who's lost a child, who's lost a spouse, who's fallen gravely ill, we start to back away. A lot of people in suffering note that their friends don't talk to them anymore. And there's a misconception there. We who are suffering say, oh, then nobody calls me anymore. You know, maybe you're going through a divorce and all of your friends aren't calling you. And you're thinking, you start to develop the shame. They're not calling me because of what I'm doing. They're not calling me because of what's happening. You become angry. On the outside, I'm speaking to those of you who are on the outside of the victim of suffering. I know what you're thinking. I don't know what to say. I don't know what to do. I recommend if you're on the outside that you call the victim up. Was this a very good friend of you and your spouse and her spouse passed away, or they're now going through a divorce? You call and you be honest, all right, with your feelings. You may not be able to name what's going on inside of you. Some people are afraid they'll catch the suffering. I mean, there's just a knee-jerk reaction to run from the person who's fallen, like this herd mentality. The gazelle in the back went down, keep running, keep running. But, you know, that's not who we are. And so you call and you say, you know what? I really want to do what I can for you, but I don't know what you need. I don't know what to say. What should I do? Most of us who are suffering, if you're willing to not be superhuman and say, I don't need anything, I'm fine, let me help you. Don't do that. Let them help you. We'll tell you, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to say. Well, you know what? I would rather you treat me as if I don't have a chronic illness, and instead you treat me like nothing has ever happened, but when I get sicker, it's just like I've gotten sick for a little bit, and then go back to treating me as if I'm normal. You know, we all have that. If someone's lost a child, and I want to say I'm unfortunate enough to know several, dozen people, but it's not me who's unfortunate. Unfortunately, I know that many people who have gone through that. And in speaking to them, a lot of people are afraid to mention the child. But they want you to. They want everyone to remember and to say they remember. So that it's not just them who are thinking about this every minute of their lives. A lot of us on the outside of suffering don't know what to do for the victim of suffering. And I'm telling you right now, ask them. Put yourself in that position. Would it bother you if someone called and said, I hate that this is happening to you. This sucks. I don't know what to say or do. How can I be a friend to you now in this new circumstance? How can we interact with this new normal? Would it bother you? Or wouldn't you be so, not flattered, but just so happy and touched that someone cared so deeply about you that they wanted to know how to continue the relationship and make it even deeper with you in your suffering? The thing about the book of Job is his three friends are called now people who come to comfort the mourning, but say horrible things are called Job's comforters because these three guys said all the wrong things, all the wrong things. But don't be a Job's comforter. Don't go up to the suffering person and start telling them how they should feel. You know, oh, that person murdered your friend. You should forgive them. No, don't tell them that. They don't have to forgive them until they feel like it. Don't do that. Just sit in silence. The great thing in Job, the greatest thing that those three friends did, is they just sat there in the ashes with him for days until he spoke, and they did not say a word. Oh, sometimes when you're in a deep state of mourning, isn't it wonderful to have someone staying over your house with you? Not saying a word to you, just staying there, sleeping in the next room, just knowing someone's there. Our number is 347-633-9174. And if you would like me to pray over you or with you, you can call in that number or go into the chat room and tell me your need. And I and all of our listeners will pray for you. And I'd ask all of you out there who are listening, when someone calls in, to join in the prayers, close your eyes and concentrate on this person, and we'll send them all of our prayers. Let's play a little song. I'm just looking for something appropriate. I like this one. It's an invitation to prayer. If you would like prayer or even to ask a question or talk about your situation, I'm Bishop Rake. I'd be happy to pray for you, over you, with you, about you, whatever works for you. You can call us at 347-633-9174 and request healing prayer. You know, I've been a part of several healing prayers, and I've seen people recover from death's door after being prayed over. It's absolutely extraordinary. I was told years and years ago that I was a healer, and I thought, I don't want to go to medical school. I passed out if you talk about broken legs. I can't stand bone stuff. But, you know, that's not what he meant, and I realize that now. What he meant was I have the gift of spiritual healing. And I found this out in some really, really strange ways. I'm just adjusting my chair. It's a really strange way. I will feel a compulsion towards someone that I should pray over them for healing. And then sometimes they're healed. And it's amazing when that happens, when God comes down through the power of prayer. You know, prayer itself is extremely interesting. I used to have a problem with it. I never prayed. And when I said this to someone, they said, you know, you can't be a religious or spiritual person without praying. And I said, well, I don't. I think intercessory prayer, which is what we're doing tonight, the prayer of praying for others. I said, I think intercessory prayer is kind of silly. And they were horrified. And I said, well, think about it. God knows what you need, and he's either going to give it to you or he isn't. So why bother asking? Well, this usually flummoxed the person I was talking to because they didn't have an answer. Well, or I would get, well, he wants to give it to you, but he wants you to ask permission to get it. Well, I dismissed that at the time. There's an element of truth to that. Now, you do have to turn and ask for things. But, I started studying quantum physics, you know, as a hobby, and couldn't take up, you know, knitting or anything. I have to study quantum physics because I'm just a goofball. But I started studying quantum physics, and I realized that prayer is actually something totally amazing. On a quantum level, and when I say that, I'm talking about particles that make up the particles that make up the particles that make up the particles that going billions of times up, all the way up into the highest reality that we see now. At that level, you actually decide what that little tiny thing is going to be. Is it going to be a wave, like sound? Or is it going to be a particle, like a little seed? And the way you decide this is by walking up to the instrument you're using to measure and saying, I'm going to measure the sound wave. It's not a sound wave. This is an example. I'm going to measure the wave, and then go, or I'm going to measure the size of the little particle. Once you decide that, that little particle goes backward in time and becomes what you wanted to measure. Now, think about that for a minute. It's really strange and a little complicated, but it's mind-bending. At the very lowest level of reality, at the basic building blocks of everything that was and is and will be, human beings decide what the basis of reality is, literally, mathematically, and scientifically. We create reality. And I'm not talking about our internal perception. That's a whole other thing. When you look out there and see that tree, you make it a tree when you look. That's a way overgeneralization. And it's not scientifically accurate, but I can say that because it's close. When you think about that, you start to wonder if it takes a conscious mind, because that little particle or that little wave, before you measure it, it exists in this strange haze where it's kind of both and kind of neither. All right? So there would be no reality if a conscious observer wasn't looking at all of those particles and making them what they are. So who would that be? Makes you wonder. And that's just a little plug for Sunday when my homily, Sunday service at 8 a.m., same bat channel, I'll be talking about Does God Exist? It's a sermon series on defending the Christian faith. First, is there a God? Second, was there a Christ? Third, are the Gospels true? And then fourth, can we trust the witness and traditions of the church? And so we'll be talking about that. That's a little plug there. But that's how I started to understand intercessory prayer. Let me pause there. Our number is 347-633-9174. That's the call-in number. Call in. Tell me what you'd like to pray for. It could be anything. If you have a question, you're welcome to call in and ask it. whatever it happens to be. I'd be happy to help you. So anyway, that's how I started understanding intercessory prayer. If we're co-creating reality, then focusing our attention on something with complete intentionality, with complete focus, and at the same time calling God into a situation, giving Him permission to act in the way that we need Him to act or we want Him to act, brings more of God into the situation. Each person who prays, it's like popping a hole in the screen in a dark room so that the light's outside. And each time you pray, you're poking another hole in the dark screen so that more light can pour into the situation. And studies have shown that people who are prayed over in after surgery heal faster and have fewer instances of infection. Prayer works. So if we are focusing our attention on something, a gallstone, and bringing God into the situation, there will be some kind of healing. Something will happen. Sometimes it's not what we want, though. Sometimes we want, you know, we want that gallstone to go away, and it doesn't. But when you do this, when you pray, I guarantee the situation will turn out in the best possible way it can. And that may mean that the whole family is with the person who passes away. Sometimes we don't get cures, but we always get healing. They're different concepts. We're coming close to the end, and I am going to do a prayer service for anyone listening who wants to keep their intentions private. And also for some people I know about who need intercessory prayer. So this is your last chance to call in, 347-633-9174. I'm going to play a brief song, and then we're going to do our service.
Rock of ages, cleft for me. Let me hide myself in thee. Let the water and the blood from thy wounded side which flowed be of sin the double cure. Save from wrath and make me pure. Could my zeal no respite know? Could my tears forever flow? All for sin could not atone. Thou must save, and thou alone.
How beautiful. Well, it's time for me to start praying with you or without you. You can call during the service while I'm praying and let me know what we can pray specifically for you about. The number is 347-633-9174. Again, the number is 347-633-9174. Let us begin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Attend you to the word of the Lord. This is from the letter of James. Is anyone among you suffering? He should pray. Is anyone in good spirits? He should sing praise. Is anyone among you sick? He should summon the presbyters of the church, and they should pray over him and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick person, and the Lord will raise him up. If he has committed any sins, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The fervent prayer of a righteous person is very powerful. Elijah was a human being like us, yet he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and for 3 years and 6 months it did not rain upon the land. Then he prayed again, and the sky gave rain, and the earth produced its fruits. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us begin our blessing. The peace of the Lord be with you. The Lord Jesus, who went about doing good works and healing sickness and infirmity of every kind, commanded his disciples to care for the sick, to pray for them, and to lay hands on them. In this celebration, we shall entrust our sick brothers and sisters to the care of the Lord, asking that he will enable them to bear their pain and suffering in the knowledge that if they accept this in encouragement and strength, they will also share in Christ's comfort and peace. Brothers and sisters, listen to the words of the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus said to the crowds, "Come to me, all you who labor and are burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am meek and humble of heart, and you will find rest for yourselves. For my yoke is easy and my burden light." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. We'll say some intercessions. Well, actually, first, I'm going to pray. I'm just going to begin praying. If you want to call in and tell me specifically what you'd like me to pray for, I'll continue and then we'll close our service. 347-633-9174. Lord, first of all, I ask that you send your spirit upon Kathy and Lisa. Both are very ill and need your comfort and grace. Help them through their trial. Let them not be put to shame for their trust in you. Send your spirit into their bodies. Push that illness out, Lord. Send your light into it and expand that light until that illness falls from their very pores. Pours out of them, Lord. Let them fall into a deep sleep tonight and wake tomorrow with nothing, no pain, no aches, no difficulty breathing, no difficulty walking, neither blood nor any type of infection, neither fever, not so much as a sprained ankle, Lord, may they have. Take everything from them. We also pray for the families of Tim and Lexi, and for the Kellers who did not get the justice they deserved, and for Tim and Lexi's parents, poor young people who were cut off in the prime of life by someone who was simply negligent and uncaring. We ask that you grant them justice, Lord. Send your light upon them and upon the attorneys representing them and on the judge and the jury who will hear the case, and give them justice, Lord. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. We have a caller. We'll answer it and see how we can help them. Hello, you're on the air with Bishop.
Hello, Bishop. I'm calling to see if you had any suggestions on someone who suffers from severe depression, and if you felt that even though I'm a believer, do you think that the medication I take has anything to do with maybe blocking the joy I may receive from God?
That can happen, and I can speak from experience because I suffer from clinical depression myself. Do you see a doctor for the depression specifically?
Not a psychiatrist, just a family doctor.
Just a family doctor. Because I'm not a doctor, but I can speak from experience that often the family doctor doesn't know the best medication to help with depression. I had the exact problem after my daughter was born. I had postpartum depression, and the GP gave me something that actually made matters worse. Mm-hmm. And when I saw a psychiatrist, you don't even have to talk to them. They're just specialists in what I call medications of the mind, things that can help whatever's misfiring in our brains to work properly. And yeah, I can tell you that sometimes your doctor will give you something that simply isn't what you need, because there's lots of different kinds of depression.
Right. I just wondered if it could block the Holy Spirit in some way because your mind is under that medication.
Yes, because if you think about us, we have a body and we have a mind and we have a soul. Our soul can't operate if our brain isn't operating. It's almost like if you have a computer, you have the hardware, the stuff in the computer that makes it run, and then you have the software, like Windows. Well, if something's broken in the computer, Windows won't run. And so your doctor needs to repair what's in the computer so that your operating system, your soul, can run properly.
Right. Okay.
If you think about people who suffer from severe mental illness, they're not culpable for what they're doing because their soul isn't running right. Their mind is blocking it. You're exactly right. When your brain misfires and the hardware goes screwy, your soul can't work properly.
Right. Okay. Well, I will talk to the doctor then.
Yeah, I would highly recommend it because I can tell you I broke down and did it 8 years ago. And thank God I did, because I didn't feel God anymore either. And it was such a dark night of the soul to not feel him in your heart. It's hell. Mm-hmm. It really is hell. I know exactly what you're going through, and I feel so much for you. I never want to go back there, and I pray that I don't. But I can also pray that you get out of there, because luckily, you're in hell, but someone can give you a key if they find the right one, and you can get the hell out of there. So I promise you, seeing an expert works a million times better. And don't worry about stigma, because there are a lot of us who we don't talk about it. But the funny thing is, if all of us put our cards on the table, I'd say about half of us are going anyway.
I know that.
And the other half need to. So.
Oh, right.
But would you like me to pray with you now?
Oh, I sure would, if you wouldn't mind.
That's my pleasure. We'll just, everybody listening, please bow your heads and we'll pray for our lovely sister here. Lord, your servant needs your help. She can't feel you in her heart right now. And no one wants to be there, Lord, you know that. I would ask that you send your spirit upon her. Move into her mind, through her body. Find whatever's blocking you, whatever's not working. And we ask your light to surround that area. Fill it and repair it, Lord. Your servant wants nothing but to serve you and continues to serve you, even though she does not feel the joy of doing so. And because of that, we know that you love her dearly and want her to be happy. We ask you also to go into the heart of her doctors so that they find the right way to help her. And we also ask you, Lord, to bless every area of her life. Protect her from all evil. Let nothing touch her. And banish every sadness from her and all who suffer from this horrible, life-threatening disease called depression. We ask this in Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you so much, Bishop.
It's my pleasure, and my email's on the screen that you might be looking at. It's charismatic.universalist@gmail.com. Please do email me and let me know how you're doing. And if you ever want to pray again, we can do that privately too.
All right. Thank you, and God bless you for all you do.
Oh, thank you. God bless you, my friend, and I hope that you're feeling better soon.
Thank you, sweetie. All right.
Bye-bye. That is very important, friends, that there's not just physical illnesses, there are mental illnesses, and there are illnesses of the heart. And for those of you suffering from depression and anxiety, I can tell you that I have a lifetime of experience with that, going back, actually, probably about 6 or 7 generations. We're all a little messed up, and there's nothing wrong with seeking help. And seeking the proper help. Don't be afraid to go to a psychiatrist. They're not what you think they are. They are experts on what's called psychopharmacology. And those are the drugs that make your brain work properly. And if you're feeling a terrible, terrible sadness that isn't related to your circumstances and has sucked all the joy in life out of your existence, then get help. There's no reason anybody has to suffer if there's an answer. So I encourage everybody to seek out those types of experts. Do not sit and suffer in silence. God doesn't want anyone to suffer. If there's an answer, well, for Christ's sake, go get it. Don't sit there and be sad. I know exactly what that's like. It's horrible. When in Harry Potter, J.K. Rowling wrote about the Dementors, how they just sucked the life out of you and all you felt was this sense of nothing's ever going to be okay again. she was writing about a depression she went through and came out of with the help of medication. So don't be ashamed. There's nothing wrong with it. If you were having a blood sugar problem, you'd take your insulin. Well, it's just a problem of the brain. Something misfires. Nothing wrong with it. Nothing to be ashamed of. It's not your fault. And if you get medication from a doctor, at least you won't try to self-medicate with alcohol or drugs or eating or whatever the case may be. There's a lot of self-medicators out there. So get the good medication, the kind that your insurance pays for. Not the icky kind. But if there's anyone else who would like to be prayed over or with, the number is 347-633-9174. I'll continue to pray for the rest of those of you who are out there, those of you who are suffering from depression. I put my hands out there on your head. I lay hands on you. And I ask the Holy Spirit to enter into your body. If you're out there and you suffer from this ailment, you could bow your head for God's blessing. Lord Almighty, put these people in your pocket. Keep them close to your most sacred heart. Lay your hands upon their head, Lord. Let the Holy Spirit enter into them and never leave. Let it wrap itself around them in a golden light. Move into their minds and make whatever isn't working work. As your servants love you, Lord, we all want to be with you. We don't do this because it feels good. We do it because we love you. But, Lord, sometimes if we don't feel that joy, we don't know what to do, and we can lose faith. And, Lord, I ask you, safeguard the faith of everyone listening. Strengthen them, encourage them. Do not let them fall away because of the pain. And those of you who are in pain, I'd ask you to bow your head for God's blessing. Lord, lay your hands upon these people who suffer from chronic pain, myself included. Lay your hands upon all of us and send your Holy Spirit moving through our bodies, surrounding our ailments with light, tightening around the joints, the organs, the bones, the marrow, the skin, whatever it is that's hurting us. Tighten that light around us, Lord, like a nut until it's healed the region that's causing us pain. For those of you who are suffering from addiction and are listening, I'd ask you to bow your head for God's blessing. Lord, lay your hands upon these, your little ones, children, these who have sought out some solace for their suffering. Almost to a man, they have all experienced a terrible trauma that has convinced them that they are not deserving of your love and that they are of no value. Lord, send your Holy Spirit upon these poor people. Lift up their heads. Show them that they have value in you, Lord. That they are loved by you more than anyone in their lives ever loved them. You alone, Lord, can give them that unconditional love. And I ask you to touch their hearts so that they think on you and know that if they get help, they will have one who will love them more than they have ever been loved in their lives. For those of you who are suffering from ailments of the eyes, of the ear, nose, throat region, I ask you to bow your head for God's blessing. Lord, place your mantle over these people. who suffer from ailments that affect their senses, their speech, their sight, their breathing. Lord, send your healing upon them. Place your mantle over their heads. Send your light into their faces, into their eyes, into their mouth. Heal every part of them, Lord, so that they can praise you joyfully in this kingdom, in the kingdom to come, and in the glorious kingdom we will enter when we pass. For those of you who have breathing issues, I'd ask you to bow your head for God's blessing. Lord, you sent your breath across the waters. You formed us out of spit and mud, and then you breathed life into us. Lord, I ask you to give your breath to those who can't find their own. Send it into their lungs. Fill them with the clean air of your spirit. Let them breathe on their own, dropping their tubes and tanks and implements. We ask you to send your healing into them so that they find the oxygen in their own lungs instead of having to borrow it artificially. Lord, you know how these people suffer, how terrifying it is to not be able to breathe or catch your breath. We ask you, Lord, to lay your hands upon their chest. Heal their lungs so that they can breathe freely again and have the breath of life in them as it moves through them and brings them to a place of healing. For those of you who are grieving, I ask you to bow your head for God's blessing. Lord, many of the people before you are grieving the loss of a loved one, a parent, a grandparent, a sibling, an aunt and uncle, a child. Lord, you knew what it felt like when you heard that Lazarus died, and yet you had the knowledge that you could bring him back. These people do not have that knowledge, Lord. They only know that their loved one is no longer with them. Lord, enter their heart and sit with them the way the three men sat with Job. Make them aware of your quieting presence. And we beg you, Lord, although it is a big favor to ask, that you send these people some sign that their loved ones are with you. Whatever that sign may be, we ask you to allow this, to allow these innocent ones who left the earth sometimes too soon, sometimes peacefully and sometimes not. We ask that you allow them to send a sign to their families, so that their families know that they're alive with you. That though we are apart from the ones we love, it's a temporary separation. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen. If you'll join me in doing intercessions for the rest of those who may be suffering, I will appreciate it. Well, that's my place in this book. These pages are so thin. Lord, make these pages thicker. Okay. I'm sorry. If you would, your response, as I say each of these, is, Lord, hear our prayer. Lord Jesus, you came as healer of the body and of spirit, in order to cure all our ills. You were a man of suffering, but it was our infirmities that you bore, our sufferings that you endured. You chose to be like us in all things in order to assure us of your compassion. You experienced the weakness of the flesh in order to deliver us from evil. At the front of the, at the foot of the cross, your mother stood as companion in your suffering, and in your tender care you gave her to us as our mother. It is your wish that in our own flesh we should live as you did, that and know that we ourselves will have sufferings that you did, but that you are with us in all of our weaknesses, our pain, and our sorrow. Our response here is, Lord, have mercy. You bore our weakness and carried our sorrows. Lord, have mercy. You felt compassion for the crowd and went about doing good and healing the sick. Christ, have mercy. You commanded your apostles to lay their hands on the sick in your name. Lord, have mercy. Give life and health to our brothers and sisters on whom we lay our hands for your blessing. Lord, have mercy. Assist all who care for the sick. Lord, have mercy. Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, who went about doing good and healing all, we ask you to bless your friends who are sick. Give them strength in body, courage in spirit, and patience in pain. Let them recover their health, so that restored to the Christian community, they may joyfully praise your name. For you live and reign forever and ever. Amen. May God the Father bless you. Amen. May God the Son comfort you. Amen. May God the Holy Spirit enlighten you. Amen. And may Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Go in peace to love and serve our Lord by always loving and serving each other. Thanks be to God. I thank you for joining me tonight. I thank our caller for calling in. It's such an important question. And I thank all of you who are out there. If you're listening to this after the show aired, that prayer will continue on to you, I assure you. Doesn't mean that I'm not actually saying the prayer now, that it won't land upon you in some way. I'm sure God hears digital prayers too. I would hope so. I guess I don't know, but I actually do know that that works. We all get grace, even from hearing something that happened before us. Well, thank you for joining me. I'm so glad you're here. We'd like to try and do this Friday healing service every week. So if you know someone who would like to call in, you can ask a question. You can ask for prayer. You can tell us something that's going on in your life. Ask for advice, for spiritual direction, or even a theological or scriptural question. That would be wonderful, too. I welcome those as well. On Sunday, we have our regular Sunday Bible study and worship. This week, we're going into Revelation, digging for the end of the world. It's in there. But the funny thing is, you'll be more surprised by what's not in there than by what is in there. There's a lot of stuff you've heard about the end of the world that simply isn't true. And so this Sunday I'll be explaining to you what you can know about the end of the world and what we can never know about the end of the world because it isn't knowable. Also on Sunday, we'll begin a homily series on defending the Christian faith. And our first homily begins with the first beginning, God. How do we know God exists? Well, we do have a lot of ways to know. Unfortunately, a lot of Christians, and talking to perhaps an atheist friend, an agnostic friend, or especially an angry one, we don't know how to answer them. And we'll throw Bible at them. You know, they'll say there's no God. Well, the Bible says there is. Well, they don't accept the Bible. That's not a valid argument for them. I can explain to you how to respond to those people using science and logic. No Bible necessary to explain this part. Actually, a lot of these series, we won't be necessarily using the Bible, because what we're trying to defend is what created the Bible, and you can't use the Bible to defend the Bible. So we'll be using science. How about using mathematics to prove that God exists? Well, I figured that out, and I'll be explaining it to you on Sunday. I hope you'll join us. And as always, at the end of our service, we have our guided meditation, which is a beautiful way to learn to pray. I used to teach this to people who were joining the church before coming in for baptism and communion and confirmation, and they had never prayed in their life. They used to just, oh yeah, I say the rosary and then Our Father. Well, that's wonderful, and they're beautiful prayers. I love them. I say them daily myself. But do you feel God's presence? Are you practicing the presence of God? Do you know that He's with you every single second of your day? I mean, do you imagine Him standing next to you while you're chopping carrots or mowing the lawn? Do you see Him sitting in the passenger seat of your car while you're driving and talk to Him? To get to that level of prayer, these guided meditations help you because they teach you how prayer is really imagination. Not saying that God is a made-up character, but we need to use our imagination to talk to Him because He's so beyond us, He can't stand next to us. So we need to imagine Him in order to feel Him. And I'll show you how to do that. I mean, you know that you can develop a deep love of something that doesn't exist if you watch a movie or read a book and the character grabs you and you fall deeply in love with it. That's your imagination. That character isn't real. You can do the same thing with God. And that's what these guided meditations are meant to teach, how to do that. And they really do help a good many people move on to a very deep prayer life. So come join us for that. I keep telling everybody about stuff that I'm putting on the website, and then the week goes by, it doesn't get up. I've had a series of very bizarre things happen in the past couple of weeks, and they're so strange and so nonsensical and come out of nowhere, and they're so frequent. And always before a show or something I'm about to do for God, that you start to wonder, if I'm not under attack. I try not to go there, but in all honesty, if you could see some of the stuff that happens in my daily life as I try to do this, one person accused me of, you're possessed, you have a horrible spirit, and they're helping you start this new church. And I said, if you take 1 minute look at my life, and you know damn well that's not the case, because if they were happy, then I'd be doing really well. I wouldn't have all these bizarre things, like a MRSA infection in my finger that swallowed up 4 days. That doesn't happen to normal people. Every week something happens. The most bizarre thing. And so, I agree. I think that maybe that's true. And I would just ask all of you to please pray for this ministry and for me, for protection, so that we can continue to serve you. And these things go bizarrely wrong. In fact, here's one for you. The first class I ever taught at a church, the first class, there were 15 people waiting for me in that room. They had never met me. They didn't know what was going to happen. They just knew that the classes started that morning for them to be baptized, these adults. And what happens on my way down there? The elevator crashes. The elevator crashed with me in it. And I'm trapped with all those people in that room, not knowing what to do. It was probably the funniest 20 minutes of my life as I got cut out of the elevator by the jaws of life. That's the sort of stuff I'm talking about, my friends, and that's what I need prayer for. The enemy doesn't like it when people come close to God, and anyone who attempts to facilitate that becomes a target. So I just ask for your prayers of protection. I really need them. God help me, I need them. Some of my friends would say way too much. They make fun of me for it. But anyway, I thank you for joining me tonight. I hope that some of you received some solace. I said earlier that healing is not curing. Sometimes we can be sorely disappointed when we're prayed for and nothing really happens. We feel the same. There are a lot of horrible human beings out there who will tell someone when they pray over them that if they weren't cured, it was their own fault. They didn't believe enough. That's bullshit. That those people, there's a special place in, I'd say hell, but I'm going to be nice and say purgatory. There's a special torment for people like that when they die. You can't tell a person that. And also, you can't raise a person's hopes and drop them. Because in the end, when you're ill and you're grasping at straws, all you have is hope. And to take that away from someone is more than criminal. It's evil. It's vile. So that's not true. If anyone ever prays for you and a cure doesn't happen, understand that you still got a healing. You always get something out of a healing. Always. It may not be what you asked for or what you expected, but watch. Something wonderful always happens. When you go to your parents and ask for specific birthday presents, you may not get everything you wanted, but you're going to get presents. And that's exactly what God does. Even if all you get is the sense of peace and clarity about your situation, or you wake up thinking, yeah, I think I'd rather see this kind of doctor and see what they have to say. You never know. You never know what you're going to get, but you always get something. And if someone prays over you, I want you to write it down, what they said and how you felt. Put it away. And a year later, pull it out and see if things aren't different. So I guarantee sometimes they are. I'll end with a quick story. I worked at a Roman Catholic parish for a very long time before I left. And I got a call from the front office and they said, Christina, there is this wild woman here demanding to talk to you. I don't want to give her your number, but she's very, very insistent and upset. And can I hand the phone to her? And I said, sure, sure, Mary. And so she handed the phone to this woman with this thick Ukrainian accent, telling me that she needed to meet with me. She had heard that I was a healer. And I immediately thought, I'm going to kill someone, because when I did a healing on someone and a cure happened, which I never knew when it was going to, but I always tell them, shh, keep quiet. I don't want people camping on my front lawn. So I was just thinking, I'm going to kill someone. And I knew who I was going to kill at that point. He had a very big mouth and thought he was very promoting, very kind in promoting me, which I did not want. But anyway, I met with her and she said, you need to come see my friend in the hospital. She has cancer. So I went to the hospital with this woman and we enter the room and I'll call her Sarah. Sarah's laying in the bed. Sarah looks like a special effect because she's so skinny. I mean, you hear the phrase skin and bones, but She was literally skin wrapped around bone. And she was halfway gone. Sometimes you can just feel that someone's leaving. And she was laying in the hospital bed, and her whole body was filled with cancer. And I sat down, and I did healing. I can't describe to you what I do, but it feels a certain way, and I feel certain things. And I got up, and it turns out that Sarah had been asked by the Ukrainian woman whether or not she would see a healer, and she had refused. And I was horrified. I left and, lectured the Ukrainian woman, you never do that. You need permission. And she and I talked for 2 hours, and I convinced her that doctors aren't evil and no, Sarah's not going to hell because she's Baptist. And there's this whole thing. I think I was more there for the Ukrainian woman than Sarah. Forgot the whole incident. About 14 months passed, and I got this card in the mail from someone I don't recognize. I open the card up, and the first line is, Christina, you don't know my name, but you came to see me in the hospital and prayed over me when I was sick with cancer. They told me you came. I didn't remember. And I thought, oh my God, it was Sarah. And at the bottom, she said, I'm cancer-free. And have been for a while. I'm extremely healthy and happy now. And I just wanted to thank you for coming. And I was absolutely blown away. And it was a wonderful thing to be part of that. I'm sorry, I break up a little bit when I think about that. Because she's alive. And I know that those of us who are suffering may get a little down on life sometimes, but it's a gift. It's a wonderful gift, whether it's going well or not. How amazing is it that our souls are in these astoundingly complicated bags of water, blood, and skin, moving around and thinking and creating. It really is amazing when you think about it. I know that we're all hurting here, but never take life for granted. It's still life. I'm going to end with a reading from St. Paul. Oh no, did I lose him? Oh, there you are. Sorry, I stuck a prayer card of St. Michael in and I found it. This is Philippians chapter 4, beginning at verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. I shall say it again, rejoice. Your kindness should be known to all. The Lord is near. Have no anxiety at all, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, make known to God. Then the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is gracious, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Keep on doing what you have learned and received and heard and seen in me. Then the peace of God will be with you. Thank you all for coming this evening. I wish you a wonderful, blessed weekend, and I hope you'll join us on Sunday. God bless.